Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of No Small Roles, a D&D podcast where there are no small roles and endless political rallies.
Yeah.
Politics, politics.
Tymon, Perrin.
I'm David Knight, your Dungeon Master, and I'm joined by the City Slickers, so say hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
Try and say that three times very fast.
City slickers. Now, I'm sure you all want to hear what Prevost has to say.
Yeah.
So, let's cue the theme tune.
Prepare your party of players and polyhedral dice. Your tragic backstory better be worth the sacrifice. Seize your sheets and D20.
Let's play D&D. Your haggard character swaggers with daggers in each hand. You've all discussed what you must, but even best laid plans. Take a turn when checks are missed.
Roll initiative.
Brandish your blades. Don't fail your saves. No risk too great, no choice too bold. This is your story. No guts, no glory. Confront your fate with every roll. Every
inside, one who will pay the price. Their chance of success all rests upon the dice. No risk too great, no choice too bold.
This is No Small Roles.
So, deciding to send Ruana after the Fey Thieves, you continued on to Forlos Vale, arriving in the metropolis the following day. After speaking with a local guardsman, you paid for lodgings and stable space at Feather's Pillow, treating yourself to some garlic bread for lunch. Enkidu dipped outside to speak with a local pickpocket who informed him that their six-sided friends were in town, if he wished to be introduced. Travelling through the city, you passed the Arcanist Consortium and the Lord's Assembly to reach City Hall, where a clerk got you up to speed with the political ongoings of the city, and gave you a map of the districts. During this, Enkidu spoke with Gilgamesh and suggested a plan to remove Beryon from the board whilst perhaps placing the blame on Prevost. You decided to head to Mildok in hopes of hearing Tymon Prevost speak and found a growing crowd of curious locals and supporters. As you positioned yourself in the crowd, a group of nobles emerged to gather around a platform. Amongst them was Kasula. And before you had a chance to approach, Tymon Prevost took the stage. So, my first question. Gwendolyn, what does Kasula look like?
Okay, she's a tall elven woman with beautiful thick black hair, olive complexion. Imagine a tall Penelope Cruz. She is stunning and stern looking. That strict headmistress that you respect but you would not want to get on the wrong side of.
Mm-hmm.
Hair in a bun.
Oh, yeah, she means business. And atop her head is a sensibly sized and tasteful hat, most likely kept in place with very sharp hat pins. She wears gloves and holds a fan, and her dress, her outfit is, you know, it's got clean lines, a very smart, feminine, kind of puts you in the mind of Gwendolyn's style, but more grown up, almost, like more muted tones, more muted colours. So she wouldn't really stand out in a crowd. And looking at her, you certainly wouldn't realise that she is a badass elite fighter.
Yeah, and especially seeing her emerge with a small group of other sort of noble-looking types. She doesn't look like she's ready for a fight. She looks like she's there as representing some kind of wealth, like especially stood amongst them. You wouldn't have picked her out in any way had it not been for the fact that you know her very well.
Yes. As soon as does Casula clock Gwendolyn? Because Gwendolyn's going to kind of like quickly try and like pull down the brim of her hat and kind of try to make sure that she's...
No. From the way that you guys have positioned yourself in the crowd, Casula, or at least outwardly, she hasn't seemed to have registered you, as far as you can tell.
Gwendolyn will kind of nudge Juna and point in
Juna's going to hold her hand.
But she's going to point in the direction so you know that Casula is there, because you might not have seen, in case you haven't seen her.
Yeah, when she sees Casula, Juna's going to like hold Gwen's hand, like lovingly tight.
So yeah, whilst the two of you are very aware of Casula being there, Enkidu, for you, this is very strange, because Timon Prevos could very well be the twin of Gilgamesh.
Fucking hell!
She was like this.
Yes. Oh my gosh!
Yes. Same skin tone, sort of hair, not as long as Gilgamesh's. Like they've got theirs cropped back down the sides, slicked down the top. Jawline perhaps a little bit softer, but same eyes, same nose, same lips. Even their shoulder frame, like. It could be Gilgamesh.
Oh, fucking hell. Okay.
And he steps up onto the stage.
Can I, as he's sort of approaching the microphone, cast Detect Thoughts?
Is there a microphone? Like there's a microphone there, but...
Sorry, if you leap forward up to your microphone, let me retcon.
He was casting Thaumaturgy. Are you ready to rock?
he is a podcaster, like so, yeah. So yeah, we'll have a microphone.
Yeah, Alan Partridge takes the stage.
Okay. Right. As he steps forward to talk, like, once Juna's computed Casula's up there, I would like to cast Detect Thoughts so that I can just hear what he's thinking in the moments before he addresses the crowd. That would give me some detailed insight into...
Yeah, as he kind of stood there, and obviously the crowd does launch into a cheer for him, a small round of applause. As he's looking at them, it's quite a calm thought process. He is kind of just surveying the crowd, trying to see whether or not it's a similar size or perhaps slightly smaller than it was yesterday. That's the kind of thoughts, but he's quite happy with what he's seeing. You get the impression sort of he's looking at people going, okay, I know these are people on my side, these are my people. And there is like, yeah, a sense of pride as he's looking over them as well. Not in an arrogant way, you wouldn't say either. But he sort of holds up a hand, and the crowd quiets down a little bit. A little bit, not much. But he says, friends, thank you once again for your support. You humble me. You truly do. But this is not about me. This is about the divide in our country between the ruling elite and the people whose voices go unheard. And there's, again, another cheer from the crowd.
I think Judah can't help herself going, way!
They say, and he kind of points in a direction roughly toward the Lord's Assembly. They say that they speak on your behalf, that the laws that they write are to benefit you. But all I see is a system that lines their pockets while keeping you in line, silenced, and obedient. You have no say in the choices made. In fact, you have no say in your own innocence. This very month, a housekeeper was hanged for the sins of her masters. The crimes of the Vondels tied that noose, and their servant was punished for it.
Oh my god.
I fucking knew it.
Sana.
I say enough. They cannot ignore you any longer. I will not allow it. The Lord's Assembly may block their ears to our roar, but I am the son of King Herish Dutharan, and I will be heard. With you at my back, I intend to march to Mervai, stride into the royal palace, and claim my... And Kasula is running forwards, and she pulls Timon back. There is a whistling sound, a flash of smoke somewhere in amongst the crowd. You hear the words, Faberian! And Kasula is hit with that explosion.
Oh my gosh.
Can you all make dexterity saving throws, please?
What the heck? I fucking knew it! Oh no! Oh no!
Terrible!
Terrible!
Very bad.
Okay.
Very bad.
I just wanted to see how he was going to solve the deficit.
Yeah.
How's he going to balance the budget?
Dexterity. Yeah, not great.
15.
15?
15 as well.
I see your 15s and raise you a 15.
And we all get 15?
So you've got to beat 14.
Yay!
Okay.
11.
Oh. 11?
Oh. Yeah.
I got 8.
8. Ooh. So with the flash of smoke and the explosion from the stage, Enkidu and Gaius will say that you were stood in front of the others and you just get knocked back, along with a whole group of other people in the front of the crowd, just knocked to the floor. Luckily, Juno, Orin, Kahilda, you kind of all take the brunt, fall into some people behind you, but stay on your feet.
Gwendolyn is... if she's on her feet, she's running to go and try and see what's happened to Kasula. Like, she needs to, like, get her out of the rubble. Whatever she's... Yeah,
I'm going to follow you, Gwen.
Absolutely.
Wherever you are going, I am going.
Can we roll initiative then?
Yes!
Yes!
Yes! Yes!
We're just already like 5 minutes into the episode. We haven't heard the whole speech you wrote.
I didn't write much more than that, let's be honest.
It's so long since we've had a fight. I was like, where's my initiative on my sheet?
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't actually know the last time I was an initiative. I don't know about these new dice. I really don't know about them.
They just need to get used to you.
Yeah.
Sleep with them under your pillow.
I'm not feeling the luck so far.
What I've noticed Jasper did when we played is that he rolled a bunch of d20s. And like, no, yeah. Obviously, whatever rolled the highest for him at that time was the one he used.
I've only got two here, so I'm limited on my choice.
So, 25 to 20.
Non-natural 20.
Oh, well.
20 to 15.
16.
16.
Ooh. Who's got the higher dex?
3.
Oh.
I've got 18, so I'm going second. So it's a race for third.
Oh, my dexterity is 17. So.
Oh, yeah. Mine's 16.
And then, Orin, what did you get?
11.
11 for Orin. Here he goes. Cool. Actually, that works out very well for me.
Oh, no. Don't say that.
No.
No.
I just mean
competition.
In organizing things. So, Gwendolyn, what are you doing?
I am... Well, okay. If I use my full movement...
Yeah. There are currently a lot of people on the floor in front of you.
Okay.
Clearly people have like banged their heads. The initial explosion has sort of grazed them a bit. Nobody seems dead or dying. There's only little bits of bruising and cuts and scrapes and little bits of blood, but everybody largely seems alive.
Okay. Can I spend a key point to Step of the Wind to get to Kasula as well, if like they're in the way?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, you do. You leap straight over all of the people that are lying on the floor. The front of the platform has completely shattered. Kasula is lying in amongst like the broken wood. You can see Timon like sort of pulling himself up from the bottom of the steps on the stones behind her, sort of edging himself forward. But he clearly was also caught in the explosion.
Oh my gosh.
As you get there, she looks hurt, very quite badly hurt, but she is breathing. And she is blinking her eye. She's conscious.
Okay, so I've travelled. I've used Step of the Wind. Yep. I'm going to use my action to give Kasula my healing potion that I have.
Amazing. Yeah, roll for it. How much are you healing her?
Oh, gosh, I've never done that before. How much is a healing potion?
2d4 plus 2, I think.
There you go.
6 points of healing.
It's something. And as you sort of like force feed her this healing potion, she kind of like coughs it a little bit and like reaches down and just like pulls a couple of the arrows that are stuck in her chest out. But just that little bit of healing, you can see that like basically you realize that she's done that because you've given her the healing potion.
Okay.
So like, you know, you can see that like the wounds are starting to seal quite quickly. She looks very confused and she's just like, Gwen?
Just rest. She's going to use... Gwendolyn's going to shield her with her body. And kind of like, so shielding her and then looking out to see if there's any more danger on the way.
Yeah, she kind of nods and she goes coughing through the healing potion and the blood. She goes, rooftop, opposite.
Okay. So can I use a free action to shout to my friends and be like, rooftop, that way!
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, Gaius, it's your turn. You are on the ground.
Oh, yeah. And he'll, like, try and get up best he can onto one knee and then hear Gwendolyn just say that and look.
I'm pointing.
In that direction.
yeah, make a... I'll say it's a bonus action if you want to make a perception check.
Okay. Oh, good. Okay, that is a 19.
19. Oh, yeah, you spot him. Hidden in amongst a tower, not close, I would say. You look at the rooftop opposite, and beyond the rooftop, you see a tower, probably about 200 feet away from where you are.
Ooh.
And nestled in amongst a window, right at the top of this tower, you just see someone, like, pulling back an arrow right on their longbow.
Oh, wow.
Sort of, they're like, settled in, but, like, they're pulling it out, and they're, like, just scanning the crowd, trying to get a good spot.
How many feet is that? How far away is that?
About 200 feet.
Oh.
From where you are.
God damn it. Okay, I will relay to my companions and say, Gwendolyn, do I go after him or do I help you? What do I do?
Get him!
Fuck! and then he will just go, I really don't like the idea of this! And then he will just start playing do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And then at that point, he will go, and disappear. And go, and reappear right behind the guy in the tower.
What was that?
Dimension door! Motherfucker! Ah, I'm in the room with him.
Okay. Amazing.
Yes.
That's good.
In which case, Enkidu, it's your turn.
I have to get up. I got knocked over. And I see that Gaius is gone. I'm like, damn it. I need to get that guy. Who's next to me?
Oren and Juna still are, and a crowd of people. Some of whom are lying on the floor.
Right. I touch Oren's shoulder, like, it's up to you, but I'm going after him, and I'm casting Fly.
Yeah.
So Oren can fly.
Okay.
But I fly as far as I can go, which is 60 feet flying in that direction. And can I see him if I fly in the general direction?
Yeah. I'll say, especially with Gaius's dimension door,
yeah.
As you sort of fly up, everybody's pointing in the same direction. You launch yourself into the air, and just from the top of a tower, you see a glow and a puff of smoke, and Gaius appearing behind someone.
Okay. Is fly an action or a bonus action?
Casting the spell is an action, yeah.
Yeah, it is. That's fine.
Can you dash when you fly?
Yeah.
I can dash fly, but then that's my whole turn. I can't,
yeah,
like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah. Yeah, it's my action.
Oh, of course.
And bonus action gone.
But that's your action, isn't it, to dash anyway?
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, so I can't fly and dash this turn, but I will bonus action. I'm not within range, am I? To Hexblade's Curse, it's 30 feet.
Yeah, no, you've still got 140 feet to go.
Fuck.
To get to him.
Oh yikes!
I can't do anything. Eldritch Blast could easily get him from here, but I'm just flying.
Heading that way.
Heading that way.
Amazing. Juna, it's your turn.
Juna is going to turn to Gwen and say, do you want me to stay here with Kasula or fly up?
You're still far away because
you've got to get through the crowd first.
Oh, of course.
You can shout that across the crowd, though.
Yeah. Do you want me over there, Gwen, or should I follow him?
Come and heal her.
Then Juna is going to do that.
Aww. Okay.
By the way, Juna was also going to fly. So when you touched Orin, I was really relieved. Because I was like, I can also, yeah. So yeah, how far away are you, Gwen?
So she's actually not too far. She's about 30 feet. But the trouble is the amount of people in the way. So you do still have to use a dash to overcome the obstacles, basically.
Okay, in that case, I will dash to Gwen. Then I'm going to use, I think it's 2 sorcery points to cast Cure Wounds as quickened spell, so it becomes a bonus action.
Nice.
And I'm... How bad does Kasula look?
Kasula, you get the impression that if the arrows had just been slightly different, she could have been dead.
Okay.
She does not look good. But like I say, she is conscious. She is like, she's being healed a little bit. She's like there, ready to go. But she is not, yeah, she's not in fighting form.
Cool. I will cast Cure Wounds at 3rd level then. Mm. Which means it's 3d8. 14 plus... Is it my spell attack bonus or spell... It's spellcasting ability for this, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What number did I just say? 14. 18 points of hit points back for Kasula.
Amazing. Nice. Good stuff.
Vicky gets back in touch with her sheets.
Yeah.
And again, like, especially from that, you can see that, like, the wounds themselves are, like, closing up much faster. And she's trying to start, like, push herself up onto her feet. Oren, it's your turn.
Can I just have a quick look over towards the platform? Mm-hmm. How's Timon doing, just out of curiosity?
Timon looks okay. He looks as bad as anyone that was in the front row of the crowd.
Okay.
But where Kasula had run forward and yanked him out of the way, she took the hit.
Cool, cool. Okay. I am then just going to, taking Enkidu's words that I can now fly, Oren is going to blast off into the sky.
Yeah.
I'm going to use my full movement and a dash. Which I like to imagine, as Oren has never done this before, is some sort of completely out of control looking, just like flinging around the sky in the direction.
I like to imagine that it's like Iron Man 1 and he's just got into the suit, that it's kind of like flailing and like, yeah. It's flying, sure, but...
It's flying, he's not quite sure how it's working, what he's meant to do. And it's just like, he's probably upside down by the time he's done his full range of movement. And
amazing.
It's looking not in control. But yeah, I'll just move and dash and that's me done.
Cool, so that's 120 feet toward the tower.
Yeah.
Cool. In which case, it's their turn. And the first thing that happens is that there are 4 more smoke bombs that go off in the crowd. And Juna and Gwendolyn, sort of arriving next to you in a puff of smoke, is a hooded figure, mask up around across their face, through their sort of the small gap that you can see of their eyes. It's kind of quite a yellowish skin, and like sort of these bright blue eyes piercing through from them. And she kind of looks quite interested and curious at the fact that you're all stood there, and just gives a little giggle and then like bamps off again toward an alleyway, then up in the tower.
As she's doing that, can we like perception check that, or is that not something we can do in the middle of a battle?
You can do a reaction if you've got anything, because she does land quite near to you both.
Bunker on the head.
Can you describe her again one more time for me, David? Sorry, just...
Yeah, she's got like sort of grey clothing, a hood up, a mask across her face, sort of like a cloth mask across her nose and mouth, but quite yellowish skin, sort of her forehead and her eyes, with quite piercing blue eyes.
And she just appeared and then disappeared again.
Giggled.
She giggled, but there was a quick back and forth of smoke appearing throughout the crowd before she then lands on the stage, and then teleports away again, more of that smoke appearing. What it's done is completely obscured almost everybody in the crowd.
Interesting.
And she's not anyone we recognise or anything like that.
No.
I think, like, can Gwendolyn make a grab for her as a reaction?
You can, but she is teleporting away, so...
I don't know if she'd know that.
Yeah, I don't know whether or not it's... even if you do manage to... Like, yeah, you leap for her.
Yeah, I think that's what she would, like, as a reaction, she would go for her. Like, who the fuck is this? Yeah. And let's try and stop her, but...
But, yeah, she's then teleported away, and she sort of... You do see where she lands, and it's at the start of an alleyway.
Okay.
Then up in the tower, the moment that you land in there, Gaius,
yep.
The guy spins around and just lets go of both arrows directly into your chest.
Oh!
Take it like a champ. Take it like a champ.
You can do this. You're going to be okay.
You're a big tough half elf.
It is a 25 and a 29 to hit.
Both hit.
Gosh.
Oh, my days.
Both hit.
Oh,
they're not a disadvantage for being close range?
Not for this guy, no.
Oh!
Things he does. Archery. Things he does very, very well.
I hate these people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So that's 19 points of piercing damage.
Okay.
And 14 points of necrotic damage.
Ooh.
So can you make a constitution saving throw? It's a 33 altogether.
Yep. Constitution saving throw. Ooh, okay. 18.
18, okay. You can feel with the way he's like shot both of these arrows, they're kind of like almost gone into either shoulder, and you just get the impression that he was almost trying to like debilitate you in some way, but it hasn't quite worked.
Cool.
And then he is going to action surge.
Ooh.
And push past you. So he's just going to shove you. Can you make a athletics or acrobatics check to contest it?
Yeah, sure thing. I'll do acrobatics. That's 24.
Oh, no, you beat him. Yeah. So he shoves into you, tries to get around you, and it doesn't really work. He basically just ends up on the other side of you, but you're both where you were, basically.
Great.
If he tried to move past you, do you get opportunity attack?
I'm going to say basically because he tried to shove Gaius and that didn't work. He's kind of had to stay within space,
yeah,
which is good. It means he's not running away at least. But that's all he's going to do for the moment.
Okay, cool.
Everybody down at the platform, the group of nobles and Timon rush forward toward Kasula. Seem to be aggressive towards Gwendolyn and Juna, but Kasula's like, no, they're with me. And so there's just lots of nodding, and like suddenly the two of you and like the small group of nobles like just kind of get carried more towards the door that they all came out of, and you get the impression that they're making an escape. Like they've picked Kasula up and they're just, everybody's rushing away to get out of the courtyard.
But what about all the people in the courtyard?
It is Gwendolyn's turn.
Gwendolyn's gonna say, Juna, help who you can, and she is going to run and step of the wind after the hooded figure in the mask.
Nice. And yeah, you quite easily reach them. Even having to like dart around members of the public, you get there and you are right next to them. What are you going to do?
I'm going to beat her up. Yeah, I'm going to... I get two attacks, don't I? And my bonus thing.
Yeah, bonus is step of the wind.
Oh, my bonus is step of the wind. Is that my key point?
That you had to use that as a bonus action to dash.
However that works. Cool. In that case, I'm going to hit her twice with my fists.
Please do.
Oh, that's so annoying. Two 11s.
Two 11s do not hit. as you sort of land there, the kind of like smokiness of wherever it is that she moves just means that it's harder to see exactly where she is.
My eyes are watering.
Yeah.
A bit.
Like she's made this entire space obscured purposefully not to be hit. It is Gaius's turn.
And he's going to grab hold of his chest, their chest, push slightly away, and then, thinking of a phrase, he'll say, just freeze like ice.
Huh.
This assassin's going to pay a price. And I'm going to cast hold person at voice level. So they have to make... Sorry, second level, sorry. So they have to make a wisdom saving throw.
Wisdom save. I got a 17.
Yeah, that saves. So they don't get frozen.
Mm-hmm.
But I am going to then, like, grab my chest and then say, jeez, this is such a great ordeal. Right now I really, really need to heal. And I will then roll, do healing word on myself.
Nice.
And then with my last movement... so I rolled, so that's 13 healing points, and I'm going to just try sidestep around him again, so I like if there's stairs, I'm at least in the way of him.
Okay, cool.
But I am very close. I am right next to him, so it's like I am like right against him.
Yeah. I mean, and actually the way you've landed, there's not a huge amount of space in this tower. You're not entirely sure what this tower is used for, but it's clearly some kind of like lookout point rather than any other functional purpose. But yeah, I realise I haven't described him. He's dressed in a very similar way to the other attacker. Sort of, yeah, hooded, mask, sort of cloth mask across his face. He's got very pale skin, though, and sort of deep brown eyes. From the way that the hood is hanging over his ears, though, especially for Gaius, you do get the impression that he is elven in some way. You just kind of get a beat on like, oh, is there another elf? But it is Enkidu's turn.
Cool. How far away am I now?
You're 140 feet.
Fucking hell. I'm still going to fly full 60 feet as close as I can to get there. 140 feet, so now I'm 70 feet. 80 feet. Shit.
Next to Orin, like, squirming in the sky.
I'm going to... Two shots of Eldritch Blast, if I can see him.
Yeah, you can see through the window.
Yeah, here we go.
Let's see.
One is a miss. Actually, 12.
12 does not hit, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think so. And the other one was 25.
25 hits.
Okay.
Yeah, so the first one sort of flies through the window, like collides with the stonework in the center of this tower. Just enough whilst Gaius is like ducking out of the way. And maybe with a small push from Gaius, like the guy basically ends up in the fiery line for the second shot.
Yeah, cool. 4 points of force damage.
Four.
Pitter.
Cool, cool, cool. So it is then Juna's turn.
So she's firstly going to say to the group of nobles, does anyone need healing?
No, we're fine. We just need to leave, says Prevos.
Where are you going?
If you're with Kasula, then come with us. Through there, we have a carriage out the back.
I need to wait for my friends, but I think we would like to find Kasula again.
Well, we can't think about that right now. You can either come with us or not. And like they keep like sort of hurrying along.
She says, not. See you later. Runs after Gwen.
Nice.
Can I see her in the smoke or like...
Yeah, you can see or like because you know where the assassin was. The smoky assassin, like you kind of like jump around the people and start heading toward that alleyway. But yeah, unless you make a dash as an action, you probably won't make it.
Sorry, so the hooded figure, is Gwen engaged with the hooded figure?
Yeah.
And if I move without dashing, which is 25 feet, how close am I to them?
You're probably only about 25, 30 feet away from them. The trouble is just all of the people in the way.
Oh, so there's lots of people between me and where this person is.
Yeah.
So if I make a ranged attack at her, I'm in danger of getting someone else.
Yeah. And the guard are also moving in to like toward the center of the crowd, trying to like find exactly where it is the danger is coming from.
In that case, I'm just going to dash and get as near as I can.
Yeah, I'll say you can get right up to next to both of them.
Hang on! I could make my spell a bonus action again, couldn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that. What do I have that's not ranged? Let's use Shocking Grasp, because why not?
Go for it.
So, Juna is going to Shocking Grasp the hooded figure, and that is for a... 19?
19 hits.
Great! That is... 10 damage.
10 damage.
Lightning damage.
Ooh, nice. Amazing. Yeah, so as they're kind of like dodging out of the way of Gwendolyn's fists and attacks, you come in and just sort of slap them upside the back with a shocking
She just literally just is like, that! And like wherever her hand reaches near. It's a bit scrappy.
And yeah, you just see them like sort of recoil from the electricity that's suddenly flowing through them. Orin, it's your turn.
Yo, okay, I'm going to use my flying movement to move 60 feet closer, so I think I'm...
About 20 feet away.
20 feet away.
Yeah.
And then this person in the mask... How are they looking? They're looking healthy.
They're looking healthy. They've only been hit once with Eldritch Blast.
Yeah, let's Scorching Ray them to see how they feel about that, I reckon. So Orin, pulling out his blowtorch, tunes it up. Well, upside down in the air to let out three blasts of fire from it.
Yes.
So I will roll three separate attacks. Oh, guys, one of those is a natural one. The second one is a 17. Oh, no, sorry, the second was a 16, and the third is a 17.
16 and 17 hit.
Yeah. So that is 2d6 for each of them. 15 points of fire damage, please, to the masked elfy kind of character.
Absolutely. So yeah, again, with sort of Gaius between him and the stairs, and like all of these attacks coming through the window, like you're just seeing like his back suddenly get singed, Gaius, and you're quite lucky that like because he's in the way, you're not getting hit at all.
Yeah.
But it is then their turn. So down in the courtyard, they are going to between Carhilda and Juna. First of all, just giggle again, even having been shocked.
Fuck them.
Then start muttering a few words and just grab the hilt of a sword at their waist. And as they pull it up, a sphere of darkness envelops all three of you.
Oh my gosh.
And you can't see anything. Even with the dark vision that you've got, it is magical darkness. But then, very interestingly, that darkness vanishes because it appears further down the alleyway with them having teleported, leaving only smoke where in front of you. It's a very strange moment.
Teleporting characters are just so annoying.
You have not played Final Fantasy Tactics. Every time a boss character shows up and you kill him, they're like, ugh, next time. Yeah. And they teleport. And you're like, no, there's interesting things to come. Yeah. Oh.
So this sphere of darkness just goes running off down around a corner down the other end of the alleyway. Up in the tower, the archer pulls two loads of arrows. He's trying to make a decision which direction he's going to be heading.
I am really close to him.
You are very close to him, and you are currently blocking his exit route. So
I'm really close to him to the point where, like, you know, for him to like draw back an arrow.
He's a ranged expert, so being within 5 feet doesn't impose disadvantage on ranged attacks.
Mother.
Yeah. And he pulls back. Yeah, he's deciding, do I attack the two people flying outside? Do I try to escape? And he is going to shoot you, Gaius.
Yeah, he is.
He's going to escape, yeah. So first of all, the first attack.
Come on!
He is going to sharpshooter this, give himself -5 penalty to add +10 damage.
Whoa!
He's cocky.
He doesn't like me.
So that is a 19. Oh no, -5. 14 to hit.
Oh lord, that saves. That was my old AC, and then I got
good
that
thing you got armor.
I got that to the leather armor in the last place. So thank God.
Yes, you did. Yeah. Yes, you did.
Can it go into me and then go? And I'm just like, and then I realize I'm okay.
Yeah. It does the thing where it just passes like in the gap under your arm, and you're like, oh my god, it's gonna get. Oh no, you're fine. But he's gonna do the same thing with the second attack. And the second one is a 29.
That hits.
Oh, -5 is 24.
Oh, just hits.
Abracalad.
That is Abracalad.
Do you want to join our adventuring party? We could really do with someone like you.
And he is going to make it enfeebling again. So that is 17. A total of 24 damage from the one shot.
Okay. Excuse me?
Yes. And can you make a constitution saving throw again, please?
14
does not succeed. So your weapon damage is halved until the start of his next turn.
Ha! Joke's on you, mate. My weapons are loot. I do have a crossbow that I cannot use.
And then, as a bonus action, he is going to... Oh, that's what he's going to use his bonus action for. A curving shot. So that first arrow that missed as a bonus action, he just like... whistles slightly and it heads out of another window.
What?
Circles the tower. And Orin, I'm gonna make the attack against you.
What?
Whoa, this guy.
Oh my god.
Has he got blue skin? Has he got.
And that
like,
was a natural 20.
Oh my gosh. Oh, this guy needs to go down.
That hits.
Oh my gosh.
Look up the Arcane Archer. There is a. Oh. There are some juicy. If you get it right, if you get the build just right, this is juicy fun. 19 piercing damage.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh, ouch.
That's a lot of damage.
Ow.
Then you've completely blocked the exit, Gaius, so he can't do anything beyond wait for people to come and hit him. So it is then all back down in the courtyard. The nobles, you see them carry Kasula out back into that the warehouse that they'd all sort of arrived from and head out that way. Gwendolyn, what are you doing?
I am running. Okay, if I run after the hooded figure with my full movement, is this dark sphere in my vision?
Yeah, so they've teleported about 30 feet and then run another 30. Have they run 30? No, sorry, they've run 35. So you can, with just your normal movement's like 40 at the moment, right?
45.
So yeah, you'd get past the point that they teleported and you could see them sort of further down the street. I say them, you can see a ball of darkness running down the street.
Not the best disguise, is it?
No. It's like a massive ball of darkness. Ah, there they are.
And you can see, like, hilariously, like, the people that were just in the street that, like, have seen this, like, ball that's completely filled the street, like, rush towards them and then just rush past them. They're very confused.
Okay, so there are people that are ending up getting in it.
Yeah.
By accident. Okay, then I'm not just going to throw some darts into it. That's what I was thinking. Right, spending another key point, step of the winding, and trying to grab whoever I can inside. So I'm trying to, using my action to try and grapple.
Yeah, make your attack roll.
Okay. I can, like, try to grapple twice because I can... I just realised earlier I rolled a d12 instead of a d20. What a dickhead.
So, yeah, make the attack. It would be a disadvantage, obviously, because you can't see them.
But, because I normally get two attacks, could it be just a straight roll?
No, you can make two attacks at disadvantage.
Okay. So does my grapple kind of count as an attack?
Yeah, it only counts as one of the attacks. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
So if you grab them with the first,
then okay. Okay, so that's three on the dice. So it's not going to. Let's see if I can catch them in the next one. Oh, and the other one's a natural one.
So we'll say with the first one, like, you dive into the darkness completely blind. You don't feel anyone, and then suddenly something brushes past you and you, like, pin them to the ground. But the darkness then retreats from what you are, and you just see, like, a small kid. Like,
oh no.
Sorry.
You're not hurt them, but they're just very shocked.
Okay, she instantly lets them go and kind of, yeah.
Amazing. Oh, Gaius, it's your turn.
What's the layout of this room that I'm in at the moment, just to check? Like, is it made of wood? Is it made of brick?
So I'm imagining that it's a kind of, like, brick tower. This is kind of almost like a seated viewing space. Not a lot up here. A couple of stools. I say viewing space. It's kind of being used a lot for storage. So it's wooden stools around. And there is a banister and stone stairway behind you. And he's clearly trying to go for the stairway, but you're in the way.
Okay. The stoneware. Stoneware? Mm. That's not a word. Is that word? Stone?
Yeah, sure. The walls. Yeah.
That. those things. Basically, what I want to do is I want to... God, I'm going to regret this. Oh, do I do it? Hang on. I'm just looking up a spell. Is this going to hurt me as much as it hurts him? 10 foot... I mean, what's the radius of this room? Sorry.
Probably about 15 foot altogether.
Okay. Okay. Alright. Alright, screw it, why not? Firstly, he is going to saying, I am hurting, I am reeling, but every time you hit me, I'm gonna sing for some healing. And I'm gonna heal myself. Healing word at third level, and that's gonna get me 13 again. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to dive into the corner, curl up into a little ball with my arm outreached, and I am going to hit that point in the back of my throat so a high-pitched ring comes out, and I am going to cast Shatter on the stonework just above the staircase.
Ooh,
nice. Yeah, obviously it's just stonework. I'm assuming it doesn't have to make a dexterity check or whatever it is that it makes.
It didn't when he did that in the underground river.
No, exactly. So I think just roll your damage for it and we'll see how damaged the ceiling part gets.
Okay.
Isn't there bonus damage for non-organic material?
I think it has to...
Has disadvantage.
Yeah, it's like, constructs have disadvantage.
Yeah. I say obviously it's just a ceiling, so it's not necessarily... Moving out the way. Ooh.
Don't use that on me.
Oh, yikes. Let's not accidentally shatter Enkidu.
That's good. That's 20 points of damage.
Ooh, nice. Ooh, so, the ceiling starts crumbling and whilst it's not, the whole thing doesn't like buckle and cave in, like a big old chunk of it suddenly like falls down. You kind of crack one of the timbers, so the support goes in that section of the roof, and not only are like sort of bricks and dust falling down at the top of the stairs here, but there's also, you're also falling, like there are some tiles from the very top of this tower like falling through the hole that you've just made.
Cool. How much has that obstructed the doorway of the staircase?
It hasn't obstructed it completely, but it has made it very difficult to get through.
Cool.
I'll say.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll basically have to focus on getting through it to climb past.
Cool. And if, as he looks back in shock, I'll just change that hand out into a middle finger.
Nice.
As I cower in the corner.
Grace here, keeping you updated with all things No Small Roles related. It's nearly our second birthday. The 2nd of August 2022 will mark 2 years of No Small Roles causing havoc in your earholes. And what an adventure it's been! We'll be taking a look back at the journey so far with some handy recaps of the first four story arcs. So, if you've been gently and persistently encouraging friends, family and strangers to give us a listen, but they've found the idea of listening to 55 episodes a little daunting, then this is their chance to get stuck in. It'll also be the perfect refresher for any of you long-standing crumpets as well. Recording the recaps also gave us a chance to have a play with some new recording equipment that will allow us to start recording in the same room together when schedules allow. It's something we've wanted to have the setup to do for a while now, and it would not have been possible without the support of our wonderful patrons. A heartfelt thank you to you all. Talking of Patreon, I have some shout-outs to do. Big love and big rolls to our most recent patrons, Damiana Vance and Katie. Thank you for being absolutely awesome and for supporting the continuation of No Small Roles. To see what extra fabulous content we have available, head over to www.patreon.com/No Small Roles. You'll also find a link to our Patreon in the show notes, as well as a link to our Discord chat, ticket links for shows the No Small Roles cast are currently in, and links to places where you can review us. So if you're yet to drop us a review, why not do it as a birthday gift? It means the world to us and really helps the podcast to grow. And oh look, a review! Many thanks to Finnick Argento, who recently gave us a delightful write-up on iTunes. That's all from me for now. Let's get you back to the action.
It is then Enkidu's turn.
I'm still like 140.
You were 80 feet away.
80 feet. I can fly to get within 20 feet of him.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, in range, Hexblade's curse.
Yes.
Let's go.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. They are cursed. So I get a +3 to my damage rolls if I hit them. But I can also crit a natural 19.
Nice.
Two shots of Eldritch Blast.
Let's go.
It's a blast.
These are both terrible.
No.
Both rolled natural 6s, so that's a 12.
No. The shots basically hit where he was standing, but with the sort of falling rubble from just above him, the way he's kind of like ducking and moving to get out of the way of that.
Yeah.
Like these Eldritch Blasts just come through the smoke and miss him completely.
Yeah, that was it. Oh.
Juna, it's your turn.
How far away is the darkness from me, please?
It had teleported 30 and then run 35 around a corner. So from where you're currently stood, you can't see it at all.
But I've seen what direction it's gone in, right?
Yep, and you can see the direction that Gwendolyn's running as well.
Okay, in that case, I think what I'm going to have to do is cast Fly and fly after it.
Nice.
So yeah, if I fly 60 feet towards it, can I see where it is?
Yeah, are you flying via the street or are you flying up?
I imagine down the street but in the air.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, you get basically around the corner, and you can see it further down the street running away. You can also see Gwendolyn pinning a small child to the ground.
How far away is it from me there?
Probably about another 15 feet.
And how big is the darkness? 30 feet.
It's a 15 foot radius.
15 foot radius. And are there lots of people nearby? Like, if I do a ranged attack, am I in danger of hitting someone?
You are in danger of hitting somebody. It's a sort of normal working street.
All the questions.
That's all right.
And is the street, like, the direction they're running in, does it look like if I overtake them, like, can I see where I think they're going to end up running?
It's hard to tell. Whilst this does look to be a slightly wider, slightly more main street, there are a lot of side roads coming off of it, every other building. So even if you were to overtake them and plant yourself, you can imagine that they would just take a side road quite easily.
In that case, I'm going to get near them, but not so near that if I, like, not next to them, but like 5 foot away from them, next to them on the street. So I'm going to use my action. Oh no, I've done my action already.
That's the thing, you cast fly and then travel.
Oh, retcon all of that. I'm just going to fly to where I am and...
Whoa.
Oh.
Have you got any bonus actions you want to...
I can spend more sorcery points.
Do it.
Really burning through them. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Two more sorcery points.
Gotta spend money to make money.
So because you cast fly, you can then only cast a cantrip as well.
That's okay. I know what I'm going to cast. It's kind of the only thing I can cast, but I think it will be fun. I'm going to cast Word of Radiance.
Amazing.
And I'm going to shout after them, teleporters suck!
Nice. Can I just quickly check?
I just rolled. Can I still count it because it's a natural 20?
Can I just check the wording of the spell? Does it say a target that you can see?
Oh. Yeah, that you can see.
Sorry. So you shout.
Oh, but then
and
if Juno knew that, she wouldn't have bloody done it in the first place. I was tricked.
I'll let you know. I will let you.
I want my money.
I will let you retcon that so that you just shout teleporters suck and it's not a spell.
Their feelings are slightly hurt.
Save them sorcery points.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, and it was a natural 20.
And it was a natural 20. Yeah. That's brutal. It's because of the natural 20 that you've saved the sorcery points.
Juno would have known that. It's been a long time since I've used Word of Radiance. Thank you.
That's all right. So, Orin, it's your turn.
Yeah, quick question. Is this person wearing any metal armor or holding anything metal? Just out of interest.
Yeah.
Which?
Their arrows have got metal heads.
Uh-huh.
There are belt buckles and things around them. They're not, like, wearing a large breastplate or anything like that, but there are pieces of metal around them that you can see.
They don't have, like, a sword at their side or something?
No, they don't.
I'm being indecisive. Okay, the room that they're in, because I'm like 20 feet away outside. What's the sort of setup within the room? Can I see from outside where I am?
Not a huge amount. It's not that wide a space, but it is filled with stools and like a storage stuff, basically. From where you are in the air, you can see that the tower leads down into one of the warehouses. So you get the impression that this is, like I say, some kind of viewing platform or maybe some kind of like calling platform to say like, you know, end of day or your shift started, get a move on, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And can I fly in through like the window or something?
Yeah, the window's wide enough for you to get in.
Okay, I'm going to fly into the room, please.
Nice.
Can I fly over to sort of stand in front of what looks like now a pretty blocked doorway or stairwell?
Yeah, if you want to move into his space, yeah. I'm imagining Gaius... actually, will you? I'm imagining Gaius has jumped out of the way, cast his spell, so the space he was in is what's blocked. Which actually means that, no, you can't get between him and the door.
I can't get between him and the door. Okay, that does change things. And does it look like he can get out the door still, potentially?
It looks like it would take an effort to climb through, but it's not impossible.
Okay.
Oh.
Get him.
Okay, I will just... So I'll run into the room and I am just going to reach out and let's just try and grab him with my shocking grasp gloves then.
Do it.
Yeah. Natural 18 for 27.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, that gets him.
That's an 8 plus 4, so that is 12 points of electrical damage to him. And he cannot take reactions.
Cool. And again, he sort of takes the shock. He doesn't giggle like the other person.
Good, because it's annoying.
He seems a lot less happy about it.
And I will just stay as close as I can to block him trying to climb out as much as I can physically within the space. That's me done.
Mm-hmm. It is then their turn. So, the ball of darkness runs around another corner.
Of course they do.
They dart around another corner. You hear some shouts of people further off, so you get the impression that you kind of get a sense of where it is that they're headed. But then there is another, like, sudden sound from another group of people, probably about 30 feet off in a different direction, where you can only assume they've run around a corner and teleported somewhere else.
The fuck are the security guards doing at this time?
Yeah!
Where are the guards?
There's like fucking 30 of them.
They got very confused, and there is an entire courtyard of people that they're, you know, also probably running around at the same time. But yeah, you hear, you do get a rough idea of where they're headed, where they are, just from the sounds of people in the city, but you can't see them at the moment. The archer up in the tower, what are they gonna do?
Nothing.
Nothing. They're just gonna have a little rest this time.
Yeah.
What they are going to do,
what the hands would say, I give up.
I give up, sorry.
Is take a look at the people in the room, take a look at the blocked door, take a look at the window, and just run past you, Orin, foot on the windowsill, and leap out of the window.
Sail!
As they go, they're going to do one of those swish Hawkeye, like turn and shoot some arrows.
They're really cool.
This guy deserves to get away, guys.
Yeah, I mean, he is really cool.
Fuck this guy.
But he's cool.
He is very cool.
Yeah, so he's going to turn, shoot an arrow, and the first one is at you, goes toward you, Enkidu, in the air, because he's seen you as he's like leapt out of the window. Oh, God, another flying person. Let me shoot them. So that was a 30 to hit.
Whoa. Excuse
30.
Me?
Oh.
Excuse me?
Is that natural or unnatural 30? Just so
that was unnatural 30.
30?
Yeah.
Are you rolling a d30, David? What's going on?
No, I'm
fucking
rolling a d20.
30?
But he rolled a 19 and he had plus 11.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. I told you, he does one thing good.
I think that hits. Just about.
I was genuinely like, how did he take that? How did he make that shot from a far off tower? And now I'm like, yeah, I can understand.
Yeah,
this guy
fair
is like
play.
A sniper.
That's only 9 points of piercing damage. And the other one is going to embed itself above the window. And as he falls, it suddenly turns into a much longer rope. And he swings right the way around the tower, like circling it, and like disappears into a window.
Oh, this guy.
It's cool.
Gwendolyn, it's your turn.
Okay, so from the sounds and the screams, I am running in that direction. My full movement of 45. Does the sphere come into my eye line?
45, just about. It, like, sort of, you edge around a corner, look toward where you've heard these shouts, and you can see the sphere of darkness turning down a different alleyway.
How crowded is it still?
It's a little bit quieter in this space. But still pretty crowded.
Okay, right. Bonus action, spending the key point, stepping the wind in, getting in there, and punching and hoping.
Yeah. So yeah, you do. You rush down.
Episode name there.
Punching and hoping.
Dart around the alleyway and sort of just get to the edge of the sphere of darkness.
Okay. All right. I'm rolling at disadvantage, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Boom, I just rolled 2 16s. That's more like it.
Ooh. Take that.
So that is a 22 to hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that hits.
Okay. Ah, that's 9 points of damage.
Yee.
Nice.
Sorry, I got a bit excited. I rolled a 6 plus 6. Okay. I'm going for another. Oh, well, that's a 3 and a natural 1, so don't hit the second one.
No.
At least I did something.
Oh, another natural one.
Yeah, natural one, Soz.
A disadvantage.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I tried to gloss over that.
Yeah, I heard.
You don't get past maybe never like that.
No, you do hear another whelp from somebody else who's clearly caught.
Oh, no.
I'm going to get in trouble for, like, attacking children.
This one wasn't a child. Oh, okay. You get the impression. Like, it felt more like a chest punch. So it was clearly someone of a similar height to you.
Okay.
But it was definitely like, and then you feel like a crumple on the ground.
Oh, no.
A teacher's nearby as well.
Oh, I'm going to get detention.
It is Gaius's turn.
Oh my god. Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming Enkidu. I haven't got eyes on like Enkidu, so I'm just going to run.
I'm 20 feet away from the window.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm like hunched in like a corner somewhere, so I don't initially know what's going on outside. All I know is he's flown out the window, and like as I get up and look outside the window, my mouth drops. And I will then frantically run over to the rubble and start moving things as best I can.
Yeah, it will take basically your action to clear a better path for anybody to get through.
Okay, I will do that. I will use my action to move it, and then I will proceed to run down the stairs, and I will cast Healing Word on myself one more time at second level, which is going to be a 10 points of healing. Okay, so I'm not bad, but I'm okay. I'm like middle ground. I'm okay. So I'm just using my last like 15 feet of movement to like start down the stairs.
Nice. And even as you're sort of like running down this circular tower, you don't see him yet. You don't know how far he's gone down or what's happened to him. But you, as you're running downstairs, you haven't seen him.
Okay.
It is Enkidu's turn.
How far down did he drop? Out of the window?
Probably dropped about 40 feet. And swung around the tower a little bit, so he's come through a window slightly on the opposite side.
I'm just gonna fly down in that direction and around where I saw him disappear to see what I can see.
Nice. Yeah, I'll say that you can see like a smashed window that he's clearly like come in from, but from the angle you can't see him.
I'll go through anyway. Mm-hmm. So it was from where I was, it was 40 feet around to go down.
Yeah.
Pop round the corner. Probably use the rest of it to get into the building through where he entered.
So yeah, you basically get yourself to the windowsill, head in into the tower itself. And from there, you can see him.
Oh, fuck.
Running down the stairs.
Running down the stairs.
Yeah.
I can hit him or reach him with my movement. No, I'm going to use my action to dash to catch up to him.
Cool.
Because I don't trust my dice rolls. So yeah, I will like extra 60 feet. I'll just...
Poof. Blast down the stairs, almost colliding with him as like you're both like running, rushing down the stairs. You like head first, flying into his back. Amazing. It's Juna's turn.
Juna is gonna fly after the sound of where she thinks the darkness has gone to.
Amazing. Up and over again, or via the streets?
I think up and over this time, so she kind of can almost like see what's going on a bit like a map.
Yeah, and yeah, as soon as you like sort of launch yourself up above the nearest warehouse, yeah, you start seeing like this little black dot running along the street. And yeah, you just catch a glimpse of like Gwendolyn diving into it.
She's dived into the...
into the darkness, yeah.
How much movement do I have left?
I'll say you've got another 20 feet of flying if you want to get a bit closer, but you'd still probably be around sort of 40 feet away from them.
Am I ever going to get close enough to do anything? So I can't get near enough without using my dash action, basically, can I?
No.
I'm going to get as near as I can.
Cool. Start dashing over that way.
Yeah.
With a dash, you can reach the darkness.
Then I will reach the darkness. Yeah, I think that's all I can do.
Nice. It is then Orin's turn.
Cool. I'm going to fly out the window.
Nice.
After him, if I may... And I'm assuming there's some sort of like rope for me to follow all the way down to where he's gone.
No, interestingly, no rope.
Okay. Can I just fly in the direction that I saw him swinging out? Or
make an intelligence check. Not as an action or bonus action or anything, just a straight intelligence check.
Okay. Let's see how this goes.
Basically, see if Oren can do the calculations of where.
Natural 20.
Of course he can. Abracadabra.
For a 25.
Well, if he was jumping at this angle and the rope was swinging at this angle, that means he's traveled this direction. So, yeah, you 100% know where he's gone. So, yeah, you can fly down the tower again and see the smash window.
Okay, so I fly down, what, it was about 40 feet, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 40 feet down.
So 40 feet flying into there. Do I then see him, or do I need to fly inside?
You have to fly inside, but what you can see is Enkidu flying towards somebody. So Enkidu is mostly what you can see in the stairway.
I will fly my final 20 feet.
I'd say, yeah, you're about 10 feet off of where Enkidu is.
Cool. so I can't see him.
It's like he's like 3/4 cover because Enkidu is in the way. So any ranged attack would be at disadvantage.
Okay, got ya.
But you can just about see him.
I can just about see him. And how far away is he? Just to double check.
About 15 feet from
me. Nice. I am going to take a leaf out of Guy's book and see if I can shatter the area that he is in to see if I can bring some masonry down on him, but also just hurt him.
Oh, please do. Yeah, are you doing it in front of... In front of him.
Yeah. So, like, in front of him, it's a 10-foot radius, so a big old ball of shattering, including him, but pointed just a little bit in front of him.
Okay, cool. Again, the tower does not need to make a save, so just roll your damage.
He will need to make a save.
Oh, yeah.
DC 16.
That is only a 9.
That's a fail.
For Dex.
It's a con. It's a con.
Oh, it's only a 5.
That is 18 points of... thunder damage to him and to the stone around him.
Nice. Yeah, the stairwell directly above him crumbles down onto the stairs that you're on. The walls suddenly, like the way they're reverberating, there are cracks spiraling along both the outside wall, but also the supporting beam in the center of this tower.
Ooh, okay.
And yeah, the path is very definitely blocked very quickly. You get the impression that this tower can't take much more without some serious structural disaster happening.
No more shatters.
I mean, feel free, but get out of there first.
And then Orion will dish out Enkidu. Grab him!
And also, Gaius is above you.
Yep.
You know.
Orion spends the rest of his bonus action trying to work out how strong the tower looks.
Cool. In which case, it's their turn. Gwendolyn, as you're in the darkness, suddenly... it drops.
Oh, yay!
And for a brief moment, you see her before she, like, looks at you, looks at, like, the dungaree-clad labourer that you've just punched in the chest, who's, like, on the floor. Smiles, like, sort of, you can see just through their eyes, like, the glee that that caused. The smoke just kind of, like, shimmers over them, and they turn invisible.
Oh, no!
That's even more annoying than teleporting.
So whilst the other one is good at archery, this one is just the good at being annoying.
I hate
evasion.
Yeah, me too.
Oh my, giggles.
Old giggles over here.
Gonna feel my punches again eventually, maybe, hopefully.
So yeah, you're not entirely sure where they've gone without a like some kind of perception check to like see if they're running through puddles or anything like that. Yeah. You can't tell where they've run. The archer is just kind of stuck where they are, so they turn around, they pull 2 arrows, they can only see Enkidu.
Ooh.
So they're going to bonus action aim, first of all. So their speed has dropped to 0 and they've gained advantage on the attack roll. Just the first one.
Damn you, Tasha's cauldron of everything.
So tasty. Some juicy things in there. So a 24 altogether to hit you.
24, you say?
Actually, and they're going to minus 5 that, so it's only a 19.
I'm going to reaction shield.
Nice.
So my AC is 23.
Nice.
Good shout. So yeah, that first shot, you get the impression that if you hadn't shielded, that would have been like an artery in the neck shot. Like, even at this close range, like they've just gotten the arrow up and like pulled it back enough. The second shot, though, they are seeing you and Orin in a direct line behind them. They are just going to release the shot. And it, as even as you, it releases, it kind of turns ethereal and just passes through both of you.
Huh?
Can you both make dexterity saving throws, please?
Every single dice keeps rolling the same number.
Natural 20.
Oh. Yay!
Very nice. Okay.
And Kitty, what did you roll before David says anything? What did you roll?
Yeah, 9 total.
9 total. Flash of genius, please, on him. To put it up to a 14.
Nice.
Nice.
Which takes the form of him saying, "Duck!"
I have a genius solution for this.
Yeah. Just saves.
14 saves.
14 just saves, yeah.
Oh, boss, thank you so much. Oh, that's friendship.
So that's 9 points of piercing damage each on the save. But he's used his bonus action. He's used his both of his attacks. So he is just going to hold where he is and just wait and look a bit panicked. Gwendolyn, it's your turn.
Can I do a perception check to see if I can vaguely work out how.
Mm-hmm. I will let you have that as a bonus action.
Okay, that's kind of you. Natural one.
Oh. Yeah, you don't know.
God. Terrible rolls today, guys.
Two total.
Yeah, I'll say with the as you're kind of like trying to get a beat, you just feel like a punch to your knee from the guy on the floor.
Oh.
Just like,
oh.
So you take like 1 point of damage.
Okay. I didn't mean to.
What's going on? What was that about?
There was an attack on Tyman Brevos. And Gwendolyn starts running back in the direction she came in. She's given up. And she's going to use her action to dash instead, cause rather than spend a key point. So yeah, so she travels 90 feet back in the direction she's come from.
Back toward the courtyard.
Yeah. Juna, I've lost them. I'm going to see where the lads are.
Juna says, the Abraca lads.
You know it. She's really frustrated. Like, she's just like, ugh! She hates giggles.
Giggles.
I hear you, Gwen.
Gaius, it's your turn. So from your perspective, you've just cleared some rubble, and as you're starting down the stairs, there is a horrible like poof, and some of the stairway has crumbled in front of you.
Oh,
as in like I can't get down.
You think that if you were to walk a bit further, perhaps those stairs would not hold you. There are cracks in the stonework.
I mean, I'm stuck up here otherwise, so Guy is just going to light-footed as he can, spring down the stairs.
Think like thoughts.
Can you make a dexterity saving throw?
Think like thoughts.
Think Legolas.
Yeah, running down that stairwell.
That's a natural 16.
Nice.
Plus the 7, which makes it into a tasty 23.
Woop, woop, woop.
Very nice.
I am Legolas.
Orin and Enkidu, can you make dexterity saving throws, please?
Oh.
What?
Oh, you dropped the staircase on us.
Oh.
Not bad. Shit. Not bad. It's pretty good.
Not good. And I've used my pleasure juniors for the moment, so.
Oh, no.
That is a 9.
21.
21. Okay, cool. So, Gaius, you quite easily dart across, but even as you're like stepping on these stairs, you feel them give way beneath you, and like, you get to like the next floor. As you reach that, though, you kind of realize that the stairs have fallen onto the stairs below.
Oh, no.
Enkidu, you take 13 points of bludgeoning damage.
For the save!
Orin, you take 26.
Cool. Orin is unconscious underneath a collapsed stairwell.
The stonework fell directly onto you.
Cold.
We're in trouble, guys.
He is.
We are in a lot of trouble.
God.
He's down.
Wow.
Dane is also. Said his name. The archer. also just succeeded. Basically, the way it's fallen, it's hit Orin first, and then pushed Enkidu and the archer like up together towards the already collapsed brick in front of.
Has the archer taken damage?
They have taken damage. Yeah.
13 points.
Okay. Okie dokie.
But yeah, guys. Then at that point, you can see Orin on the floor. What are you doing?
Well. Firstly, I will position myself by the window. I'm going to run by the window and then play diddly diddly doo diddly doo, and then hopefully he will be healed with a bit of healing word. That's my last third level spell, and that is it's an 8.
Thank you.
8. But then
you take it.
It's better than death saves.
And then I'm going to say, Dane. Prepare to feel some restrain! And then he is going to be like,
help. You don't know his name.
But you don't know my name.
Just looks like a Dane.
It just looks like a Dane. Yeah.
He's got a little Dane name badge on.
Hi, I'm Dane. I'll be assassinating you today.
Please be sure to write down some feedback.
He's not Dane Bowers, he's Dane Bowers.
That's a wisdom save. They've got to beat 14.
There's only a 13. Oh, wait. I'm going to re-roll that.
Why?
I'm going to use Indomitable.
What is that?
So it's actually a 16.
Oh my god!
Indomitable is a wonderful fighter feature, which means they can reroll a failed saving throw.
We all need to be fighters. Why aren't we all fighters? Why are we all these stupid other classes?
People think fighters are boring. Fighters have got some sick things.
It's time to multi-class.
So yeah, he does succeed, unfortunately.
Okay. But now he's locked in here with us guys, and hopefully he has no more ropes.
He's locked in here with us, and some of us are nearly dead.
Yep. Don't have a lot of health for that. Yet.
Locked in here with the guy who does, like, 40 damage.
Enkidu, it's your turn.
Oh my gosh, Scimitar's out.
He has to go down.
It's Scimitar time. First in Blade, and Hexblade's Curse still, so hopefully I can hit.
Also need him for information.
Natural 19, so that's a crit!
Why?
Yeah! Oh, my days.
Crit baby! Okay.
That is 9 and then plus 3, so that's a 12 for the first strike.
Nice.
Second. Oh, no! I didn't double the damage.
Please double the dice damage.
So 10 from the dice, plus 4 for charisma, and then plus 3 from the Hexblade's Curse. So 17.
Very nice.
Second attack, if he's still up.
He's still up.
Oh, my gosh! Natural 19 again!
Hey!
I shit you not! Natural 19 again, so wow. That's another crit!
We need that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I will say, I'm assuming just from Hexblade's Curse, the extra damage will take him out, so it is up to you in this moment whether or not you are trying to kill him or just knock him
out. Orin has just said we need him alive.
I say, don't worry, guys, I got it. And I slash him across the back, and I kill him. But for flavor, this can be my action for next time in the initiative. I'm like, you might not like this, guys, but I've got this. And Enkidu's hand will turn scaly like his mage hand, and we'll get back to that next turn.
Amazing. Juna, what are you doing?
I'm going to perception check where this dark thing has gone. I've rolled a 6, but I am going to use magical guidance to re-roll it.
Yeah, now you said indomitable. We've all got like our own like little special thing. Oh, because I'm a bard,
I can add stuff too.
I can roll stuff just again too, baby David.
My name begins with an O, I add 8.
It was a 4 for, I don't know, like 6 or 8 or something. So yeah, I don't see.
From where you are in the sky, yeah, you can't see. You can see Gwendolyn running back. So the decision at this point is whether or not to fly back to the courtyard.
I don't really know what else I can do. Yeah, I'm going to fly back after Gwendolyn.
Cool. Orin.
Orin is going to get up from underneath the masonry.
Going to kind of like, exit initiative at this point.
Okay.
Oh, great.
Because, Gwendolyn and Juno are heading back to the courtyard. Enkidu has started to do something. but Orin, what are you doing?
Okay, Orin is going to run up. Fly up towards the downed guy and go, surely don't we want him to be alive so we can find out who he is and what he's doing, as he's pulling out his cure wounds bees.
Stop.
And preparing to put them on.
Okay, yeah.
And technically, can I hold an action to use my cure wounds bees?
Yeah.
If I don't like Enkidu's answer.
Sure, you have the conversation first before...
Sure.
But then whilst Enkidu is charging this thing up, the cure wounds bees would technically go first.
What? No! Oh yeah, it would. Oh no!
It's just an initiative order. So, Enkidu, what's your response?
So the spell would have gone through and healed him, right?
No, I'm not. I've said I'm holding the bees for your response.
Oh, my response. Okay.
I'm getting them out of the pot.
Okay. You see Enkidu's like... revitalized a little bit. He was looking a bit rougher wear. And the visible wounds on him seal up a little bit better. Enkidu's like hand will change the same color as his mage hand. It will go pale pink, blue, white, scaly hand, and say, I can talk to him with this, and you have no option but to obey me. It's not something I like, but someone who does something like this is not gonna bow or buckle under interrogation. They're not gonna answer our questions, but with this is a guarantee. I'm going to bring his spirit back and he can obey my commands, and then I'll let him go.
Hey there, just well, I'm in the room also. how long does he have to be dead for you to do this?
Oh, just like, as long as I've killed him. And as long as I've killed him, it works.
Cool. And Guy will do that Homer Simpson moving back.
Yeah.
You might not want to look at this.
Orin will very reluctantly put the bees away. Technically, I'm spending a spell slot because I prepared to spell, but I will let it go. And Orin will sort of back away, very uncertain about this.
Sorry, fellas. And he'll just plunge his hand into the guy's body and just pull something out.
Okay, Orin faints. Orin's on 8 hit points, has been hit by a stairwell. I think Orin just...
Guy like grips the wall and is like on his toes, like whoa.
David, I'm using a cursed spectre as I pull this guy's soul from his dead body.
What?
Nice.
Read out the feature for it.
When you slay a humanoid, you can cause its spirit to rise as a spectre that gains +3 temp hit points. Roll initiative for the spectre, which has its own turns. It obeys your verbal commands, gains a +3 bonus to its attack rolls, and remains until the end of your next long rest.
Nice. So there's a time limit for it.
Yeah, so until I rest, which I technically don't have to manage. I would, yeah, until we go to bed.
Does it mention at all if the body is revived?
No, it just says it causes its spirit to rise as a spectre.
Interesting. So as you perform this beautiful act, and this sort of spectral form of this same, like, masked, hooded archer appears. Curiously, on his hand, not the spectre's hand, on the body's hand, a ring just starts glowing. And it spins up and up and up, sort of almost like pulling his hand up, until suddenly it expands wider than his body, like this golden ring, this band, and then zaps shut again, and the body is gone.
Whoa!
But the spirit remains.
Ooh.
What the fuck was that?
And that's where we're going to end the episode.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
You have been listening to David Knight as your Dungeon Master, Ben Galpin as Orin, Chris Watts as Gaius, Daryl Bailey as Enkidu, Grace Kelly Miller as Gwendolyn, and Vicky Gaskin as Juna. Original music by David Knight. Please tell your friends, subscribe, and follow us on all the social media. Thank you for listening to No Small Roles. Anon for now.
You see, Enkidu's like, revitalized a little bit. He was looking a bit rough for wear. Some of the heals have wound. Some of the wounds have healed. Retcon! You see, Enkidu regains a bit of vitality. Some of the heals. Fuck me! Chris!
Oh, like, no one's going at the end of the episode
to
now.
I fly to the
window! I fly through the door!
Excellent.
Can't even get that right. Retcon! Oh my gosh.
I throw my pen on the floor in confusion.
Enkidu regains some vitality. And the visible wounds on him seal up a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. What about his heels, though?
all the heels, bro.
Anon!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.